Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour Week 8 DFS Ownership Recap. We're going to be taking a look at the Thursday night numbers from Fantasy Aces, the $3 GPP. There were 600 entrants again this week, so not the biggest sample size, but one that can lend a little bit of glare into what's going to happen this weekend, especially on the DraftKings main slate. So that does not include the London game, so we're going to be focusing strictly on what the Millionaire Maker qualifies for. We'll be looking at some of the FanDuel ownerships, too, and try to give you a guide to who people are talking up this week in conjunction with FanshareSports.com, who aggregate all of this stuff together to provide the best projection. They had a really good week last week, so we'll review how they did and the most talked up guys in the business this week. I also want to let people know there is no DFS ownership show next week. I'm out of town, got some family stuff. Sorry about that. Tried to cancel as few shows as possible, but this is one that's going to fall by the wayside. Hopefully I can still release the Excel sheet that I use and release that to the public so you can decipher the information your way. It probably ends up being better than me anyway. But let's get to the running backs at the top. Devontae Booker, no shocker. With CJ Anderson out, it appears like everyone's just going to own him. He was 72% owned, followed by Spencer Ware at 44, Christine Michael 40, Jaquizz Rodgers 35, Devonta Freeman 31, David Johnson 13, DeMarco Murray from the Thursday Nighter 13%, Ezekiel Elliott 13, and Mike Gillisley 7%. With the news on Friday that LeSean McCoy was not at practice, did not see the field for the Bills, I mean, Friday is usually the best indicator of whether a person's going to play on Sunday or not. He was not there. I would expect Shady to be out. Now, we saw this last week, too, and we all expected him to be out, but he obviously was not. Kind of threw a wrench into everyone's plans. But if he is inactive for that game against the Patriots, that Mike Gillisley at 7% being $3,800 on DK and $5,900 on FanDuel is going to see a precipitous bump in his ownership. And frankly, I think it takes away from the bottom line of Devonta Booker. So a lot of people want to pay down at one of these spots. Some people might pay down at both. I wouldn't recommend that, really, unless you go with like a super team of receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends. It's a viable strategy, I'm sure, if both the guys have good games. But for me, I would still go Booker over Gillisley, and I kind of like this a little bit because 72%, you know, that's tough. I would expect that number to be down a lot with a lot of people moving some of their shares on to Gillisley, who I would guess is probably going to be around 30, 35%. Maybe Booker drops down to like 45, 50%. We'll see how that plays out. But, I mean, those are your two outs this week. When I talked to Davis on Wednesday, these guys were still in timeshares or backups, and there was really no place to pay down where you really felt good about it. These two guys present that option, and everyone's probably going to take it, as they should, to construct a team of what they want. So last week we saw all the chalk hit, and it was really that little bit of differentiation. So using the ownership percentages this week can really help you find maybe that contrarian play. I was hoping it would be Christine Michael, and maybe it still can be, because one of the reasons he was so highly owned on Fantasy Aces, he was only $4,800. On DK, he's 73, and on FanDuel, he's 78. So I would expect to see that ownership number come down a bit, because he's more in the range with the Elliots and the David Johnsons in terms of pricing on DraftKings and FanDuel than he was on Fantasy Aces. So that's a little bit of an aberration there, just between the pricing on the site. So I really like Christine Michael. I think people are going to talk themselves into DJ Ware and Ezekiel Elliott at the very top. When we get down to this next range, Matt Asiata was 5% for the Monday Nighter because it's, you know, Jerick McKinnon still in a walking boot at this point. Saturday practice for that game will be the important one. LeGarrette Blount, I'm kind of stunned, is only 4% owned. He's a great tournament option this week against the Bills' favorable game script. And really, I mean, he's been good since Brady's come back. He's averaging 19 touches a game. He's scored in every game. He actually has 4 touchdowns in those 3 games. He has the second most carries from inside the 10-yard line this season. He's tied for the league lead in rushing touchdowns. Obviously, on DraftKings, he is not a part of the passing game. So if the game script turns awry or they decide to go a different direction and don't run the ball, then it renders him kind of useless. The floor is not quite there for LeGarrette Blount, But I think his upside, just the touchdown upside against the Bills, who've looked pretty shaky against the run lately, is going to be a relatively good upside play. And if he's going to be this low owned, that is a place where you can differentiate your team just a little bit. Below him, we have James White, then Chris Thompson at 3%. Lamar Miller, another interesting option against the Lions, only 2%. That could be a way to pivot off of some of the main guys and decrease the ownership of your team if you want to do that. Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill, both 2%. Mark Ingram, 1%. Theo Riddick, 1%. Gore, Howard, Ryan Matthews, Jarek, Dwayne Washington, Zach Zenner. Like, we're getting into scrub territory right here. Rob Kelly, I guess, is the other interesting name. He's only 1% owned. Obviously, the Matt Jones news that he wouldn't play wasn't released till Friday, and the lock for this was on Thursday. So I would expect him in Thursday or in Monday to Thursday contest next week, or if you're playing a full slate that includes the Sunday morning game in London, Rob Kelly will probably be a bit higher owned. I actually still prefer Chris Thompson, especially on DraftKings in full point PPR. I don't quite have a gauge of how that situation is going to play out. I think he's a decent value. Obviously, Rob Kelly comes in at the min on DraftKings and at $5,100. He's someone to consider, but for me, I guess Miller and LeGarrette Blount are the two guys at the bottom. I'm kind of stunned Matt Forte only came in at 4% too. Now, his pricing on Fantasy Aces was a lot higher than someone like Kristen Michael, where on DraftKings it's kind of reversed, same as on FanDuel. So you might see his ownership number go up a little bit and Michael's come down, like I mentioned. But if he's going to remain below 10%, I don't love Matt Forte this week. I could see Bilal Powell getting himself back into the game a little bit and kind of evening out the snaps, probably more of a 65-35 than like a 90-10%. Like we saw last week, but it's a great opportunity against the Cleveland Browns, and Matt Forte definitely inside the 5-yard line has been where they've been turning when they're successful. They do like to throw to Brandon Marshall, and we'll get to him, but Forte is a calculated risk at that low ownership, so I like that a lot. Let's move to, all right, fan share from last week. DeMarco Murray, Jaquizz Rodgers, Spencer Ware, Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell were 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the FanShare Sports tagging aggregation. They finished 2, 1, 3, 4, 7. It's pretty on the money. So this week when we look at it and we see the most talked up running backs of the week, we have David Johnson at the top, Devonta Booker, Devonta Freeman, Jaquizz Rodgers, Matt Forte, Ezekiel Elliott, Kristen Michael, Latavius Murray, which did not translate into the Thursday slate. I don't personally like Latavius Murray a lot this week. Tampa actually has a pretty good run defense, and there still is a split there. Spencer Ware, Frank Gore, and Mike Gillisley. I would expect Gillisley to go up those rankings. So if you log on to FanShare Sports on the weekend, you can get the updated aggregation ranks from there. I would expect Gillisley to be talked up probably inside the top five. I would expect him to be in top three or five in ownership come the weekend. Wide receivers, let's talk about them. At the top, Mike Evans, no surprise there. He is 49% owned, very, very good price on Fantasy Aces, 56.50, 81 on DK, 79 on FanDuel, with Julio Jones being so much more expensive. He is the very logical move to save some cash. You save $1,500 on DK for a guy that probably has similar opportunity and potentially more upside because he gets the red zone targets. Ty Montgomery, 39%, T.Y., 23, Julio, 21, Amari Cooper, 19, Marshall, 12, Marquise Lee was 9% owned in the Thursday nighter. That did not work out. Doug Baldwin, 8%, Devonta Adams, 8, Larry Fitzgerald, 6, and then we keep dropping down to Terrell Pryor, Will Fuller at 6%, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Randall Cobb at 5, Marvin Jones, Stephen Diggs, Michael Thomas at 3, Allen Robinson, Jordy Nelson, Kelvin Benjamin, Julian Edelman, Jeremy Maclin, Alshon Jeffrey, Deontay Moncrief, Golden Tate, Quincy Enunwa. These guys are all at 2% ownership. What surprises me from down there, I guess if you're playing the long-range contest, A.J. Green, looks like Josh Norman will end up being active. He is questionable, practicing on a limited basis on Friday, as is Jordan Reed, so I'd expect those two guys to be in uniform in London on Sunday. But it's the Houston guys that really surprised me. We'll get to Brock. He's been talked up a little bit this week. I was hoping I'd be on an island and just have all the Brock Osweiler to myself. But a lot of people are going with C.J. Fedorowicz, leaving DeAndre Hopkins down in that 5% range. I think that's a nice pivot if you want to go to more of a contrarian receiver at the top, because I love Mike Evans, I love Julio Jones, I love Brandon Marshall, I love T.Y. Hilton, but so does everyone else. And you can't fit all those guys on a team. And if you do want to make a little bit of a move, it seemingly Amari Cooper is the one that people are going to. I would be okay moving to DeAndre Hopkins in tournaments and taking that shot. Terrell Pryor with McCown back at 6%, I do like that number a lot. And Larry Fitzgerald, 6%, is kind of stunning. Both Michael Floyd and John Brown are expected to be active, but both are dealing with injuries. Carolina's defense has given up over 325 passing yards in two of the past three games. I actually think this is a nice spot for Palmer, and especially Larry Fitzgerald, who has yet to go below five receptions in any game this season. Now, he hasn't breached 100 yards yet, which is somewhat problematic, but I think he can do that this week. And again, at the top, everyone's concentrating on the same guys, that going to Larry Fitzgerald might be a decent move. Same as Jordy Nelson. All the other Packers receivers are being owned more than him, and I understand that, but in a game with such a high game total, the highest of the week, taking a shot on Jordy Nelson in that matchup, maybe he can score two touchdowns, and boom, you're dancing because no one else has him. Other names from down that list, Golden Tate, like I mentioned, only 2%. I like him against the Texans. And all the Saints guys, and we'll get to that with Drew Brees too, that everyone wants a part of the Seattle offense in that game. Taking the contrarian move and playing the Saints, I know it's a bad matchup, but they've been pretty lights out at home. Brandon Cooks would be the one I would avoid if I had to, but Michael Thomas down in low ownership, even Willie Snead at low ownership, I think that's a really nice contrarian stack if you want to go for it with the Saints offense. And then using Christian Michael on the other side is a play that I really like if you want a game stack in that spot. So Willie Snead, 1%. Brandon Cooks, 1%. Emmanuel Sanders, only 1%, too, against the Chargers coming up on the weekend. And other than that, I mean, you got your Snooze and your Floyds. They're 1% owned. John Brown, 1% owned. LaFell, 1% owned. Robert Woods, who looks like he's going to back, 1% owned. That, or in the other side of that Saints game, Jermaine Kearse is an option that I really like. I'm not big on the Seattle passing game this week because I do think that they run a lot, but Jermaine Kearse is someone who just pops for big games every now and then. And even against Arizona, they were looking for him once they got inside the 25-yard line. No completions on any of those, but they were taking shots. And when you're playing New Orleans, not Arizona, you're probably more likely to convert on those. So Jermaine Kearse as a GPP flyer is someone that I can get behind. Last week for the FanShare sports aggregation, I mean, the receivers were dead on. Green, Evans, Jones, Allen Robinson, Pierre Garçon were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They finished 2, 3, 1, 4, 7. So, again, FanShare Sports has this figured out for who's going to be the highest owned guys of the week. And we switched to receivers for week 8. At the top, we see Mike Evans. That's really no surprise. Followed by Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Doug Baldwin, Brandon Marshall, Larry Fitzgerald, T.Y. Hilton, and DeAndre Hopkins. With all the big names up there, it seems like people are picking their poison and going with two or potentially three of the big names if they can squeeze them into their lineups. But obviously, you can't afford all of them. So taking the guys at the very bottom of that as a pivot or contrarian play to decrease your ownership is probably the move you want to take. Let's take a timeout before we get to quarterbacks, because guys, I need to tell you about DollarShaveClub.com, because you don't need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and affordable shave. And to prove how amazing their shave really is right now, they're going to give you the first month free to join the club. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors right to my door for a third of the price of what them greedy razor corporations charge. Do you hate going to the drugstore and dealing with the locked fortress of razors? Never again if you join the club. Just go to DollarShaveClub.com and pick a razor that works for you from their amazing line of blades. And with Dollar Shave Club, you can look, smell, and shave like $1 million without paying for it. You know, it's Dollar Shave Club. It's a few bucks a month. So here's your chance to see why over 3 million members like myself love Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is so confident and the quality of all their products, now you can get your first month of the club for free. Just pay the shipping. After that, few bucks a month. No long-term commitment, no hidden fees. There's no reason not to do it. Get yours today at dollarshaveclub.com/mayo. That's dollarshaveclub.com/mayo. Back to the show. Quarterbacks. No surprise with Famous Jameis at the top, 32%, followed by Matt Ryan, 23%, Derek Carr, 19%, Mariota was 15% in the Thursday nighter, Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck, 13%, Brock and Josh McCown at 11%, followed by Wilson at 9%, Brady, Fitzpatrick, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, Alex Smith, Matt Stafford, Drew Brees, 3%. Like I said, that Saints stack is going to be super low owned, and we know that they can hit at home. I think that's going to be a spot. Don't love Drew Brees this week. This could certainly blow up in your face. But I think this is a very calculated move to take a very high volume, very efficient, very consistent, especially at home, Drew Brees, even up against a tough defense. I think they're going to be able to move the ball here. The team total for this is not especially low. I mean, the game total is just below 50, so that isn't really a game to jump on. Winston and Cash seems like the move, or if you can pay up for Ryan, I do think those are probably the two safest guys with the best floors based on their price points on the board. Ryan Fitzpatrick at 7% is somewhat interesting, too. Actually, you know what? Cam is somewhat interesting as well, because Arizona keeps getting talked up as having the best defense. Their defense is exceptionally good. But the one thing you look at when you shut down pass defenders is how no one really kind of fits into a mold that can shut down Cam Newton. Coming off the bye week, they're a three-point favorite. No one's really believing in them. We do know that Cam Newton possesses the skills to score the most fantasy points on any given week. So even if you wanted to play naked Cam, that might not be the worst situation in the world if you wanted to play a whole bunch of entries. If I was only playing 10 lineups, I probably wouldn't. But if I got up to 25, I might throw in a Cam team or two just to take advantage of that low ownership, which we rarely see from him. FanShare Sports last week had Andy Dalton at the top, followed by Matt Ryan and Blake Bortles, Mariota, Brady, Cousins, Rivers, and Winston. And those guys finished 1, 2, 4, 6, 3, 5, 7 in terms of ownership in the DraftKings Millionaire Maker. So they were pretty spot on with that. So this week when we look at it, Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson 1-2. I'm going to be fading Russell Wilson this week. Again, like I think this is going to be a spot where they try to run the ball a lot. You can really take advantage of the Saints on the ground, and I would expect the Seahawks to be trying that out as much as possible. He's followed third by Ryan Fitzpatrick, Aaron Rodgers, Brock Osweiler. Then tied for sixth is Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, and Derek Carr. Andrew Luck, Carson Palmer, and Josh McCown round out that list. At tight end, people are paying down. C.J. Fedorowicz, who I really like, but now I'm a bit iffy in cash if I can afford a better option. He's 20% owned, followed by Jack Doyle, Jimmy Graham, Gary Barnage, Greg Olson. Delanie Walker from the Thursday Nighter was 8%. Gronk, only 7% in tournaments. You got to like that play, especially with Martellus Bennett leaving Friday's practice with his injury problems. He may not see a high snap count. Gronk probably going to go off against this Rex Ryan defense. Kelce, Brate, Rudolph, they're at 4%. Then we look at like Fleener, Jordan Reed, Antonio Gates, Hunter Henry at 1%. If Hunter Henry plays, I think he's an intriguing option against the Broncos. We saw Gates get really involved last week against Atlanta in terms of target share over Henry, who was dealing with the concussion problem. But if Hunter Henry passes the concussion protocol, I think his athleticism against the Broncos and where they can shut down Ty Williams, Travis Benjamin on the outside, and Dontrell Inman, that it does leave room for Phillip Rivers to complete a lot of passes over the middle to Hunter Henry over Antonio Gates, I believe, just because at this point, let's be real here, I love Antonio Gates, but he's a decrepit old man. He's not on steroids anymore, so he's not getting propped up. He's going to have certain games where he is the focal point of that passing game because of his rapport with Phillip Rivers, but Hunter Henry, with his athleticism, he can beat those linebackers with his speed, with his size, even though they are very good. But I could see him having a sneaky game here. You don't need to have much exposure to go overweight on Hunter Henry at 1% if he ends up suiting up. So I do like that a lot. Charles Clay at 1% is the other guy down on that list that I would find to be relatively intriguing. Speaking of Hunter Henry, he was number one in the FanShare Sports aggregation from last week, followed by Gronk, Vernon Davis, Delanie, Brate, Eifert, Kelce, Jimmy Graham. Those guys finished 2, 3, 4, 6, 7 at the position. Jack Doyle was 8th. He was the highest owned of all tight ends, and that really worked out. Great price. Good volume, scored a touchdown, had all the receptions. Jack Doyle was top-notch. I kind of worry about him this week. I still might end up using him as my cash game tight end, but I'm not going to feel great about it this week with Moncrief back, Dorsett back, just the overall market share from Andrew Luck maybe down this week. But if there is no Dwayne Allen, he still is probably their best red zone presence. It's either him or it's Moncrief. Hopefully, he ends up seeing a few targets in that game. DSTs to close, actually, no, this week. Tight ends that are getting talked up. Jimmy Graham at the top. No surprise there. If you can afford him, play Jimmy Graham. Revenge game, so great narrative on the go with him. And it's a game that has a high point total. Just because I'm fading Russell Wilson doesn't mean I don't think he's going to do anything. I just don't think he has a high of upside without the running skills that he's been flashing over the past few seasons. The ankle injury clearly has had an effect on him. And without those, I don't think he's the best pocket passer. If he can't extend all those plays, guys can't get open downfield. But near the goal line, if Christine Michael's not getting the ball, I bet you they force it to Jimmy Graham one or two times to get that touchdown. And he is their biggest body out there. So that makes a lot of sense to me. C.J. Fedorowicz follows him. He's followed by Gary Barnage, Jack Doyle, Gronk, Tammy, Kelce, Rudolph, Gates, Ertz, and Cameron Brate. Not much doing this week at tight end. It's a very tough position to figure out. And finally, defense is going to be in flux this week. Everyone's basically going to be low-owned. No one really knows who to take. From Thursday night, the Vikings were 23 and the Titans were 17. Those two are not available on the Sunday main slate, so that ownership's going to go somewhere else. They were followed by the Broncos at 15%, the Bears at 6, Browns at 6, Cowboys, Chargers, Patriots at 5, 4, and 3, then the Jets, Eagles, Chiefs, Cardinals, Lions, Bucks, all 2% owned. I would expect the Broncos to be the chalk at defense. I don't love that, though, with the way that the Chargers have kind of had their number. Kind of prefer the other side of the ball. I think the Chargers defense can actually shut down Trevor Siemian here and force him into bad decisions. Now, they might just run the ball with Devonta Booker over and over and over, and that would not lead to a very successful fantasy performance. However, I do think that at $2,400 on DraftKings, that it's a decent spot to be in. They're only 4% on. They're $4,200 on FanDuel. So they do present great savings if you need the cap relief. Other than that, I still think the Jets against Josh McCown can be very effective here. Revis looks like he's getting a bit healthier. He's clearly not the Revis from years past, but he doesn't seem to be the Revis from the first 2 weeks. He was just getting burned everywhere. So, again, Josh McCown, well, a decent fantasy play himself, is prone to turnovers. You can take him down, and if the Browns can't run the ball and the Jets get up in this game, you could be looking at a volume play against your defense of like 40 to 45 pass attempts, which is kind of key. Also, the Texans against the Lions. I know Matt Stafford hasn't been turning the ball over much lately, but again, I like the Texans in that game. I think Detroit's due for a letdown, so that could be an interesting spot as well. I really wish Justin Houston was back for the Chiefs, but the Chiefs in general at 2%, just because Andrew Luck was held upright last week doesn't mean that's going to happen again. The trends this season have been him getting pressured on 33% of his snaps. It was 41% last week. I don't think they figured everything out in a week, so the Chiefs' D could be very intriguing even if Luck puts up points. Last week, it was tough to kind of tell. The Patriots were the most talked up defense, followed by the Vikings, Ravens, and Bengals. They went 1-4-3-2-6, and the Chiefs were the fifth most talked about. They were the fifth most owned. So FanShare Sports has been very good with defenses so far. This week, they have the Jets at number one, followed by the Cards, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Seahawks, and the Browns. The Seahawks are really intriguing here because if that game doesn't go the other way, if everyone's fading the Saints, it's surprising to me that a reasonably priced Seahawks defense isn't more highly owned. That could be a nice hedge out of that game that if you do some Saints stacks that on your other teams you use the Seahawks defense in a correlation play with Kristen Michael, maybe they can generate some turnovers. We know the Saints are going to pass. So again, almost like that Andrew Luck thing where if Drew Brees throws the ball 41 times, 45 times, that even if they do put up 28 points, 30 points, there's still an opportunity for fumbles, for picks, for sacks, everything like that, and potential scores. And that's what we're looking for when we talk about fantasy defenses. And we know the Seahawks defense is very good. And unlike the Panthers game where you're going to be using the Cardinals defense against them, the Panthers are just going to run the ball a lot. And I don't see the Saints doing the same thing. So I like the Seahawks D more than the Cardinals D. Hope that cleared things up for you just a little bit. Like I mentioned, no show next week. And for the updated aggregations, go to fansharesports.com for the most up-to-date aggregation info heading into Sunday. Good luck this week on FanDuel, on DraftKings, on Fantasy Aces, wherever you play. Hope you win a lot of cash. I hope I win too. I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.